absolutely delighted and pleased, partly because you haven't won anything for such a long time, that you know, winning feels so much sweeter. Winning is one of those things that we all love to do. My nan, she wasn't a great football fan, you'd be surprised to, not surprised to hear, but my nan used to play cards with my dad. And when we were kids, and my nan died when I was about 10, but when we were kids, my nan and dad used to play cards at night time, and if you remained awake, you could hear them arguing over the card game. And at the end of the card game, my dad always used to win, and at the end of the card game, my nan would always say, "I'm never ever playing again." And she would stop off to her bedroom, and then the next evening, there you would hear them playing cards once again. And even for my nan, she loved winning. She loved winning. You like that when you play a board game. You know, there's something deep inside you. I mean, I'm a father. And I find it hard to let my son win. You like that? I mean, occasionally I do, but there's something deep inside me. It kind of goes against the grain. I want to win, even if it's against you. I know you're only 4 or 3, but I need to beat you. He's not 4 or 3 now, he's 2. You remember playing football in the garden with him at that kind of age, and I still, you know, he'd go in goal, then I would go in goal, and I still had to score more goals than he scored against me. There's something about us wanting to win. Well, I want us just to lift, we'll look at 3 different myths of winning, and then I want us to watch a video clip just at the end of this little time together. 3 myths of winning. Firstly, this myth: winning defines us. Winning defines us. We are when we win, or I am when I win. We all want to win. We all want to do the best. Do you have a trophy cabinet? Some of you guys may just be thinking about your trophy cabinet. Have you all got a trophy cabinet at home? I don't have a trophy cabinet. I haven't got any trophies to put in the cabinet. But some of you may have won many things. I don't know. And then wouldn't it be lovely to have a trophy cabinet at home where all the things that you want, you can invite people around to your house, have a meal with them, take them to the trophy cabinet, and kind of say, "Yeah, that's my FA Cup award. That's when I won the World Cup. You know, that's when I won Wimbledon and the golf," or whatever it might be, and show them all these different awards of what you've won. And in some ways, many of us do build our lives on our trophy cabinet, so it may not be a physical. We may call it our CV of success. The things that we've done well, the things we can say, "I've done that, I've won. I'm a winner in this area or that area or this thing or that thing." Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's in relationships. Maybe it is at sport. Maybe it's at something else that you have succeeded at. Does that define us? Are we what we win? Well, I want to cry out, and the Bible cries out and says, "No, we're not." See, the problem with that is that most of us don't have a trophy cabinet. My dad has a trophy. I was so proud of my dad when I remember as a lad seeing his trophy, and I said, "Dad, what's that trophy for?" My dad's got a trophy for winning the losers' competition at chess. And as a young lad, I used to look at this trophy, and you know that sort of that thing in the playground where you kind of talk about your dad being greater than everyone else's dad? You know, I'd draw this out. My dad has a trophy. And it's for losing at chess. That is a trophy. And I'm so proud of it. But for most of us, we don't have a trophy cabinet. We can't speak of the things that we won at. Does that make us lesser people than others? The Bible says no. The Bible says that each and every one of us are valued in the sight of God for 3 reasons. Because he made you, you're valued. Because you're made in his image. To some extent, surprisingly enough, don't look around too much, but somehow you reflect the very nature and image of God himself, and that makes you worthwhile. And probably most of all, because he loves each and every one of us. Whether we've succeeded at life, whether we've hit that top mark or not, God loves you. And some of us who didn't receive a trophy today need to hear that. That we are valued in the sight of God. That's the first myth, if you want. Winning defines us. The second myth is winning fulfills us. Pete, Steve, winning is a temporary high. It doesn't last. Eventually, we have to come back down to earth, and it passes, and the next season comes. And if we don't win in the next season, then the last season, whatever we won, seems to just fade into insignificance once again. So wait for another 9 years, and perhaps you're experiencing again. I was thinking, one of the greatest footballers that I loved watching was Paul Gascoigne. I thought Paul Gascoigne was such a great, skillful player. And Paul Gascoigne, let me tell you some of the things he won. He won the FA Cup Youth Winner in 1985 for Newcastle. He won the FA Cup Winner in 1991 with Tottenham. He won the Scottish Premier Division in 1995-96 and 96-97. Scottish Cup Winner in 1996. Scottish League Cup Winner in 1996. Scottish League Cup Runners-Up with Middlesbrough. For England, the Roos Cup Winner in 1989. Fourth place in FIFA World Cup in 1990. Third place in UEFA European Championships in 1996. Individually, he won the PFA Young Players of the Year in 1987-88. He won the PFA Team of the Year in 87-90. BBC Sports Personality of the Year in 1990. I think that's an award worth winning. Goal of the Season in 1990-91. FIFA World Cup All-Star Team. He got in that in 95-96. The PFA Scotland Player of the Year in 1995-96. The SFWA Footballer of the Year in 1995-96. 96 was a good year for Paul Gascoigne. UEFA European Football Championship Team of the Tournament in 96. He played 468 games. He played for in England, Italy, Scotland and China, and he scored 110 goals. 57 appearances for England, scoring 10 goals, and was inducted into the English Football Hall of Fame in 2002. That is a trophy cabinet, isn't it? Mm. Do you know any of us would take that? I mean, there may be other footballers that have more, but just a remarkable, amazing achievement. And yet we all know. We don't remember many of those things that Paul Gascoigne managed to achieve. But we do know some of the life that Paul has had to face. And I mentioned Paul because Paul, at the beginning of this year, was in Southampton, just back in rehab. I mean, I pray for Paul. I met him once, actually, in a hospital, just passing. So you know when you see somebody, you can't pass and you go, I know that person. It was Paul Gascoigne. Do you know, the Bible says, have I met you yet? Satisfaction is not found in that alone, but instead in God himself. Jesus said these words. He said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The myth of winning will fulfill us is not true, but Jesus does. And then the last myth, is that winning makes us great. Winning makes us great. So winning is good fun, and I do not want you lads to go away into next season thinking, do you know, actually, Geoff talked about that winning isn't important. Because we want you to come back next year and to have the title, to win the league, get promotion, and be celebrating winning, because winning is great fun. In fact, I think that's why winning is important, because it's just fun. I mean, a good friend of mine once said to me, oh, I'd love to hear you preach on competitiveness. It's not an easy subject to preach on. But I think there's something about winning that is fun, it's enjoyable, particularly for men, to kind of grapple against each other and see if we come up top on that occasion. But it doesn't make us great. It doesn't make us great. Go and win as many games as you can, but remember, it doesn't make you great. It just means you won that game. Jesus said, greatness is something completely different. Greatness is not about winning. The greatness is about serving. It's about becoming a servant to all, laying down one's life. Now, don't do this on the football pitch. Don't go after you. Just go and go, there you go. I'm great. We wouldn't want that. But in our lives, to lay down our lives and to serve others is what Jesus says makes us great. I wanted us to, we're going to watch a clip in a minute. Has anyone heard of a guy called John Wooden? No, I haven't heard of him, but he is basket in the USA. His basketball is Alex Ferguson. He won so many awards. He was born on October the 14th, 1910. Sadly, died in June 4th, 2010. He was American basketball player and coach. He was nicknamed the Wizard of Westwood. And he was a head coach at UCLA. And he won 10 NCAA national championships in a 12-year period. That's some going, isn't it? 7 in a row. It was an unprecedented feat. Within this period, his teams won a record of, listen to this, 88 consecutive games. He was named National Coach of the Year 6 times. Let's hear what John Wooden. It takes a while just to get your ears tuned into the American accent, so just tune in. Let's listen to what Wooden has to say about success. Thanks, Tom.
I coined my own definition of success in 1934 when I was teaching in a high school in South Bend, Indiana, being a little bit disappointed and disillusioned, perhaps, by the way parents of the youngsters in my English classes expected their youngsters to get an A or B. They thought a C was all right for the neighbor's children because the neighbor's children are all average. But they weren't satisfied on their own and would make the teacher feel that they had failed or the youngster had failed, and that's not right. The good Lord in his infinite wisdom didn't create us all equal as far as intelligence is concerned, any more than we equal for size, appearance. Not everybody could earn an A or B. I didn't like that way of judging it. And I didn't know how the alumni of various schools back in the 30s judged coaches and athletic teams. If you won them all, you were considered to be reasonably successful. Not completely, because I found out that we had a number of years at UCLA where we didn't lose a game, but it seemed that we didn't win each individual game with a margin that some of our alumni had predicted, and quite frequently, I really felt that they had backed up their predictions in a more materialistic manner. But I was true back in the 30s, so I understood that. But I didn't like it. I didn't agree with it, and I wanted to come up with something that I hope would make me a better teacher and give the youngsters under my supervision, whether it be in athletics or in the English classroom, something to which to aspire other than just a higher mark in the classroom or more points in some athletic contest. And I thought about that for quite a spell, and I wanted to come up with my own definition. I thought that might help. And I knew how Mr. Webster defined it as the accumulation of material possessions or the attainment of position of power or prestige or something of that sort, were the accomplishments perhaps, but in my opinion, not necessarily indicative of success. So I wanted to come up with something of my own. And I recalled I was raised on a small farm in southern Indiana, and Dad tried to teach me and my brothers that you should never try to be better than someone else. I'm sure at the time he did that, Well, somewhere, I guess, in the hidden recesses of mind, it popped out years later. Never try to be better than someone else. Always learn from others. And never cease trying to be the best you could be. That's under your control. And if you get too engrossed and involved and concerned in regard to things over which you have no control, it will adversely affect the things over which you have control. Then I ran across a simple verse that said, at God's footstool to confess, a poor soul knelt and bowed his head. I failed, he cried. The master said, thou didst thy best. That is success. From those things and one other perhaps, I coined my own definition of success, which is peace of mind attained only through self-satisfaction and knowing you made the effort to do the best of which you're capable. I believe that's true. If you make the effort to do the best of which you're capable, trying to improve the situation that exists for you, I think that's success, and I don't think others can judge that. I think it's like character and reputation. Your reputation is what you're perceived to be. Your character is what you really are, and I think the character is much more important than what you were perceived to be. We'd hope they'd both be good, but they don't necessarily be the same.
Character and reputation. You can be successful in your reputation, but being successful in your character is something very, very different. John Wooden said this, and I'll close with these words. I've always tried to make it clear that basketball is not the ultimate. It is of small importance in comparison to the total life we live. There is only one kind of life that truly wins, and that is the one that places faith in the hands of the Savior.
Such a sporting note and such powerful words from Geoff and from Mr. Wooden there, urging us to kind of to focus and think about what's really important in life. Because life is so rich, there's so many things that we can devote our time to and our energies to, which are great fun, but do they really count? Will they last? You know, will they give you a lasting legacy? And whilst we can enjoy many, many things in our life, let's make our lives about things that last. We're going to have our closing song, which is, if I can invite the musicians to come on up, it's song 2650, Friend of God. Please stand.